Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our soon and coming King, Jesus Christ. Today's the last Sunday of the church year when we celebrate that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Last week, we talked about the fact that the end times are not some time in the far-off future. We are in the end times right now. The four horsemen of the apocalypse, false Christ, wars, famine, and death are all riding throughout the world right now, causing death and destruction. The next important event in world history, the one event we are anticipating and waiting for, is the return of Jesus Christ, the return of the King. The second coming of Jesus Christ is also known as the Day of the Lord. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, suddenly and without warning." So no one knows the day when the day of the Lord will be. And the Bible warns us not to try and predict it. Instead, we should always be ready for the return of the King. So, what happens on the day of the Lord? Well, notice, first of all, it's the day of the Lord, not the week of the Lord, the month of the Lord, or the 7 years of the Lord. It all happens on one glorious final day. And on that day, that final day, according to Scripture, there will be five key events, and I want to share those five events with you today. Number one, the return. The first event is the visible return of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 30 says, "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Notice there's no invisible return of Jesus, no secret return of Jesus. When Jesus comes again, he will come with power and with great glory, and everyone will see him. I love the picture of the return of the King from Revelation chapter 19. "Then I saw a new heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We talked about the rider on the white horse last week, all the false Christs, the pathetic imitators of the King. But when Christ comes again, there will be no doubt about who he is. He will appear in all of his glory, all of his majesty, all of his power, and he won't be coming alone. He will be accompanied by all the armies of heaven, his mighty angels. How many angels are there? No one knows for sure, but they will all be with him. The scriptures give us one number, 10,000 times 10,000 angels. That's 100 million angels. Now, back in the times of the Bible, when only one angel would appear, people almost always had the same reaction. They would fall on the ground and pretend to be dead. The glory of one angel is overwhelming. It's too much for a human being to handle. Now imagine the overwhelming glory of one angel multiplied by 100 million. The overwhelming glory of 100 million angels. It is beyond our understanding and our power to comprehend. But the glory of the 100 million angels is nothing compared to the glory of the one who leads them. The Son of Man will appear in all his glory and majesty, the glory of God the Son himself, outshining the angels. We will see him in all his glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The second event that takes place on that day is the resurrection of the dead. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24:31. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So the Lord will send out his angels. Why? To gather the elect, believers in Christ. Not just those who are living, even those who have already been dead and buried. The Lord himself will descend with the sound of the trumpet, and with his incredible almighty word, the dead will be raised. Just as the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead by the power of his word, when he returns, Jesus will raise all the dead. He says in John 5, "An hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. At the Lord's command, we all will be resurrected from the dead. Just as Christ's tomb is empty right now, our tomb will be empty as well. Some will be raised to everlasting life, some to judgment, but all will be raised by the almighty, omnipotent word of Christ. Now, when our bodies are raised, they will not be like the bodies we have now. The bodies we have now are corrupted by sin, poisoned by sin. They are full of death and disease and bondage to decay. Our new bodies will be glorious, free from sin, free from aging, free from pain, free from death, just like Christ's own resurrected body. Our new bodies will be raised immortal and imperishable. Now, some people worry, what about those who died in space or maybe are at the bottom of the ocean or those who died in explosions? Will they be raised? And the answer is, of course they will. The Lord created the entire universe in 6 days. Recreating your body or my body on the last day will not be a difficulty for him. If we are still alive when the Lord comes, then our bodies will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. The mortal will put on immortality, the perishable will be replaced with the imperishable. And then what happens next is number three. The good shepherd will separate his sheep from the goats, those who don't belong to him. He will separate the believers from those who don't believe. And that's number three, the separation. The Lord will separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, the believers from the unbelievers. Matthew 25, 31 and 32 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Well, how is this going to happen? Well, remember at this point, from what we know, the Lord is still in the air, above the earth, with all his millions of holy angels with him. Then the dead are resurrected. After that, the Bible says the Lord will gather all the elect to himself. He will send out his angels. The dead will be raised, the trumpet call of God. The living will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And then the Lord will bring all those believers to himself in the air. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 4 describes. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Resurrected and those whose bodies have just been transformed will meet the Lord in the air, will be taken to his side. The shepherd has just separated the sheep from the goats. So imagine this beautiful and incredible picture. You will have the Lord, but not just the Lord, but all his hundreds of millions of angels, plus the entire church throughout history, the resurrected and glorified church, right there by the body of, right there by Christ himself. It will be a glorious sight that will be greater than any sight in all of history. And those who are left on the earth will mourn because they will realize it is too late. They are left behind. They are not with the Lord. They are not the sheep. They instead have been separated from the Lord forever. And then begins the final judgment. Number four, the judgment. Jesus said that when he comes with all his holy angels, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him to be judged. Revelation puts it this way. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Revelation 20, 11 and 12. So, Jesus comes to judge the world, or as scripture says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that sounds scary when you think about it that way. I understand that. But remember, there's already been a separation. The shepherd has already separated his people from the people of the world, the sheep from the goats, the believers from the unbelievers. And what we learn from Matthew 25, Jesus' account of his very own judgment, is that the sheep and the goats are judged completely differently. Here is the judgment for the goats, the unbelievers. See if you can spot the difference between the two judgments. The judgment for the goats, the unbelievers. Jesus says, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Now, here is the judgment for the sheep, those who believe in Christ. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Now, those are two very different standards of judgment. Jesus says to those who don't believe in him that they will be judged according to the law. Not only will all their sins be held against them, but they will also be held guilty for every time they could have done good, but did not do it. The law holds us accountable not just for sins we do, but also for the good we could have done and didn't do. And no one, no human being can be found innocent in that kind of judgment. There's always something else we could have done. There's always more people we could have helped. There's always more good we could have done. All of us, by that standard, are guilty in God's sight. That's the judgment of the law. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and therefore our sins condemn us. But the judgment of the sheep is entirely different. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Notice what Jesus says. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So Jesus mentions their good works, but notice what he doesn't mention. He doesn't mention any of their sins. Jesus doesn't mention any of the sins the sheep committed, because there aren't any. All their sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus, completely forgiven and purified by the blood of the Lamb. As far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed our sins from us, I will forgive their sins and remember their wickedness no more. All of these verses point to the fact that our sins are completely forgiven and forgotten by God. When it comes time to stand before Christ for judgment on our sins, the judge, Jesus, will say, "What sins? There are no sins here. They've already been paid for." That, my friends, is the gospel. The difference of judgment between the sheep and the goats is this difference between law and gospel. The goats are held to the law and held accountable by the law, and no man can stand before the Lord by works of the law. But of course, the sheep stand before God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our sins are completely forgiven. They vanished. They are gone forever. There is no judgment for those who believe, just the blessing of their King. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Which brings us to number 5, the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21, 1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, a brand new universe. You see, it's not enough for Jesus just to save all those who believe in him. No, Jesus died to save not just us, but the entire universe. The universe has been waiting in eager expectation for this day when the children of God are to be revealed. Now, creation itself, at the day of the Lord, will be liberated from its bondage to death and decay, and brought into the kingdom of God. The universe will be purified. All sin and all of its consequences will be cleansed from the universe. And the universe will be brought into heaven itself. The dwelling of God is with men. Our universe will be part of God's kingdom, heaven itself. And then we have that beautiful picture of the reunion all of us have been waiting for, all of us have been longing for. Our reunion with God himself. Like a father welcoming his prodigal son or daughter back home, the Lord welcomes us into his kingdom. He wipes the tears from our eyes, and we will never cry tears of sadness again, only tears of joy. The old order of things has passed away. There will be no more death. It will be banished. There's only life, eternal, abundant, everlasting life. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. Only the joy and peace of the Lord, the old order of things have passed away. There will be nothing other than God's love, God's peace, and God's joy for all of eternity. You see, for the Christian, the day of the Lord is not to be feared. It is to be eagerly anticipated, because the day of the Lord is the return of the King. It is the day of ultimate victory, Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.